The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
What's up, guys? This is a podcast Beyond episode 196. I am not Greg Miller. I am Jim Riley. I'm joined by
Ryan Clements
and Colin Moriarty.
Colin, you're so happy right now.
I know I am.
Oh, we're giddy.
I'm really not happy, actually.
Oh. Greg is not here
no.
this week.
No.
I am, though.
Jim yes. is here. Greg is going to be busy today
yep.
at an event. We were going to try to record early in the morning. It still is early in the morning, actually. It's like 9:30 or something like
it's
that.
It's actually early for me, too. I'd be just walking in right now, I think.
So, yeah, we had to get the Roper Report early today. We had to do this, that, and the other thing early today.
Yeah,
listen
yeah.
to a little Lamont and Tonelli on the way to work.
Oh, man, it's always it's a tough call with the Lamont and Tonellis, man.
Now, I want to get something out of the way real quick, Clements,
Jim. Right.
This new podcast setup.
I was hoping you'd comment on this.
I'm not feeling this. Now, I'm not talking about Jim hosting the show. That's great. Jim introduced the show. It's what has
I
to
used
happen.
To do radio in college, by the
Jim
way.
Jim did do radio in college. That's absolutely true. At what was the university?
Erie? It's a fine establishment. Don't worry about it.
Okay. don't worry. I'm not really that worried about it. I'll just ask you a question.
Don't worry about
so
it.
So we usually have these headphones with, you know, like the little mics coming out, like maybe what a pilot would wear or something like that, or someone in the NSA, maybe at a computer terminal. Now we have these microphones that are bulging out of the middle of the table here.
Right.
And so it's more like a radio setup. Now
right.
this is problematic, Jim, because you can't lean back and relax. You have to be like right on top of this goddamn microphone. The entire
yeah,
time.
No slashing for you anymore, Colin.
I know.
News flash, it actually helps you focus and stay energized.
I don't know. I mean, to me, I feel like, you know, I like to sit back and ponder. I like to yeah. to absorb what everyone's saying. Now well, I have to sit with my neck arched towards this microphone.
You can sit back and ponder and then lean forward when you want to say something.
Do I sound good to you guys?
Yeah, you sound
fine. Really good. Okay. Like in my headphones, I have a kind of like an echoing.
It's okay. This is what happens.
All right.
It'll sound okay once in the final product.
I'm hoping we can bring back the old setup.
That's not going to happen.
Too late.
I'm very disappointed in the setup.
Before we get into anything, I just yeah. want to make sure everybody knows I platinumed Demon's Souls the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Took
mm-hmm.
me about 5 days.
Congrats.
I beat the game in total 10 times.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
yeah. Do you want to tell everyone what happened on Sunday, Jim?
I don't remember what happened on Sunday.
We were supposed to go to dinner.
Oh yeah, this was a serious issue.
Colin blew me off.
I didn't.
He sends me a text at 10:30. Says, "So what are your plans for?" Because we had discussed the week before that we were going to get dinner on Sunday night.
Okay.
Sends me a text at 10:30. Says, "Hey, you just want to know what the plans are for today." And then at 12:30, 2 hours later, he says, "Well, I got other plans. Up, see you later." Like I haven't.
That's not what I.
I haven't. I hadn't even gotten out of bed.
That's not what. All right. So first of all, it was 10:57. I text messaged you, and I said, "What time do you want to meet?" Is it was the query?
No. It wasn't what time it was. Are we still on for?
Oh, okay.
It was something of that nature.
Something of this nature.
Okay, got
and
it.
And then I went. So I did this when I was going out to the supermarket. I went. I ate breakfast. I like went to three different stores. I get home exactly 2 hours later. I just happened to pick up the phone. He hasn't texted me back. So I'm like, all right, man. Well, I have other plans because it was the day of your barbecue.
Yes.
What I wanted to know was if Jim wanted to, you know, maybe come through to the barbecue and then we can go to dinner afterwards. but I never heard from you. So I just ended up getting drunk at Ryan Clements' house.
I was sleeping. Yes,
it was such a good time. By the way, barbecue at my place turned out spectacularly.
It was awesome.
It was the day before Independence Day.
My God.
My God. But we watched Independence Day. This was the first time I've seen this movie.
What?
No. I was about to say in what must be 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's been a really long time. But man, we rocked that Blu-ray so hard. We had everybody just hysterical laughing. There's a good part, movie.
There's a part in the movie where the woman's in the tunnel.
And the dog leaps in.
And I didn't realize it at first until someone told me afterwards. But at that part, you're like, oh, great, the dog made it. But then you realize, oh, millions of people just died in the tunnel and in the whole city.
Yes,
but the dog lived. So
the dog
okay.
made it. And I would like to point out that during the dog jumping section, everybody cheered.
Exactly,
with great joy in the room. It was a good time.
It's a corny movie, but I actually kind of like that movie. I think I was talking to you about it, although I was kind of drunk, so maybe with someone else, about how I really enjoy how they have that ship or whatever at Area 51 or wherever they're at, and how it was like they explain the Roswell crash and the Roswell event as aliens scouting the planet and like one of their ships crash or whatever, and so they have them. I think that's actually kind of clever, and I dig that. And I also like Jeff Goldblum's character because I was wondering, as some people know, I think Jeff Goldblum is probably the worst actor that's ever walked the face of the planet. And he...
Don't say things you can't take back.
And I was wondering if Independence Day could just be a spinoff of Jurassic Park because he is the same character in both. But then doesn't he actually die in Jurassic Park? Or does he live in Jurassic Park?
Oh, I don't know.
He lives.
Dr. Ian Malcolm?
They would never kill.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
No, I thought the main guy's name was Dr. Ian Malcolm. No?
That was John something.
Oh, that's right, John.
So he lives in Jurassic Park.
We're going to look this up.
He lives in Jurassic Park?
He does. He makes
okay,
it
so
up.
This could... He's injured. Then Independence Day should be a spinoff of Jurassic Park. Do we have any other business to attend to?
Oh, on Demon Souls. So we were wondering how I beat it in 5 days. Yeah. So there's a rare item you have to get to craft a weapon to get a trophy. Very difficult to do normally. I got lucky and got it without even trying. And once you get this, it's a pure blade stone, if you know what you're talking about here.
Okay.
So once you get the pure blade stone, the rest of the trophies are easy to get.
Okay.
You got to get that one item. And I got it by pure luck. So
okay.
That saved me about probably 5 to 10 hours of playing.
Now, jeez. Is your plan still to get the European version?
Yes, I'm going to get the European version. I'm asking Namco if they can send me a copy because they publish it in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask it a
so
copy.
So it actually registers the separate regions as different like trophy lists.
So it's my understanding it's based by who publishes the game.
Okay.
So Sony publishes the game in Japan, Korea, and the Asian areas, Asian markets. And so... All those versions will be the same trophy set. Atlas published in North America, and then Namco in Europe. So three separate trophy sets.
Got it.
But for Dark Souls, we don't know yet who's quite. Namco's publishing it worldwide, but we don't know if the Japanese and North American.
Well, From Software is publishing it by themselves, right?
That's right. So we might have two. Yeah.
Well, that's still something to aspire to.
Yeah.
This October.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how excited are you for Dark Souls?
A 90.
Like a 90 out of 10?
I have a boner thinking about it.
Okay.
Okay, well, that definitely is a 90 out of 10 then.
It is a 90 out of 10.
So should we get into...
Yeah, Colin, I think let's start off the show proper.
What once was, what is right now, what forever will be.
Forever
the Roper
be.
Report.
It's time for some news.
Okay, the biggest story is what I suspect everyone will want to talk about, and so I've left it for last because that will be the
topic of the week.
So let's get into everything else.
All right. This is Dr. Alan Grant, by the way.
Alan Grant?
Yeah. Dr. Alan Grant. Wow, where did we get John from? Where is there a John?
John, I don't know.
Is there a John in that movie?
No. Is Newman's character named John?
It's
I already turned it off.
Okay. Number one, according to a report, PlayStation 4 may be coming as soon as 2012.
Bullshit.
A Taiwanese manufacturer claims that Foxconn and Pegatron Technology, the companies that make the PlayStation 3, will create an attempt to ship up to 20 million units of the PlayStation 4 by the end of 2012.
Wow.
Most disturbingly, the report claims that PlayStation 4 takes advantage of, quote, body movement-based controls like Kinect.
By the way, you didn't give the disclaimer that this is the news brought to you by Colin Moriarty.
Oh, yeah, there's...
Colin's opinions not necessarily reflect those of Beyond or its subsidiaries.
Yes, and...
Who else is beyond owned?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, it is America's Most Beloved Podcast, so we just want to make sure to cover our bases.
Also, can you tell me again the name of this manufacturer?
Foxconn and Pegatron technology.
Pegatron. Pegatron is my favorite word now.
Well, Foxconn's known for all these like worker deaths. A lot of people die there. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. All the time. Like suicides. Yeah. People don't like working there.
Well, so I guess we'll just go to Jim because Jim knows things about rumors and speculation.
What do you think, Jim? You're calling bullshit way before.
I'm calling bullshit. It might be announced next year, but it's not going to come out next year.
Yeah. I think it won't be announced and obviously not released next year.
No. There's absolutely no way it would get released next year. It's way too early.
I talked to some developers. They don't have dev kits for whatever this is. So if it was coming out next year, they would have it by now because they would need at least a year, right?
Yeah, or more.
Definitely more. Probably need 2 years.
Were you talking to third parties, though?
I can't comment any further.
Okay.
I think the motion control thing might be correct. I think they could probably gonna do something with like an iToy, new version of iToy. Because the Move is kind of a failure at this point.
Go away.
Well, it's not Move is
it's a failure, Colin.
It's not a failure. It's just not that fun in most cases.
I mean, what strictly move games are they releasing besides Sorcery?
I don't know. I can't believe we actually didn't hear anything about Sorcery E3.
But Deadman's Quest,
yeah, Deadman's
Medieval
Quest.
Moves,
Ape Escape.
But most of the Move stuff is just throwing in controls for Resistance, BioShock.
No, I agree. But commercially, it's not a failure. It's sold actually quite well. So I just wanted to.
We don't know the breakdown of actual sales for that.
Yeah, they don't say like what the navigation controller sales are. Yeah, they don't say bundles.
But they're also if it was let's just say it was coming out next year, they wouldn't be able to make 20 million of them in 1 year.
Yeah, I mean that was what kind of threw up the red flag to me, which was like this doesn't 20 million units is a lot of units.
It's almost impossible, and they wouldn't have Vita and PS4 or whatever in the same year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
So it's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're going to hear anything at all about PlayStation 4 next year, but that's just my theory. And Vita's that coming out this fall probably, if at the earliest quarter one, 2012.
I still think it's going to be this year in Japan only and then early next year.
I hope they don't do that to me.
They haven't said, they keep going back and forth on one that's coming out.
If it's not region locked, I might just import one because I'm quite excited to get my hands on it for the commute and the trophies.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be playing the Vita in the car? I'm not going to be able to hear all your enlightening chats.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. We might not be driving together, depending on where... Yeah, I drive with Clint. Depending on where Greg and I live, and Mike Mitchell.
Yeah.
The one Mike Mitchell.
I live next door. I live next door.
Yes, you always talk about how you're so close to the office.
Yeah, you really are close to the office. You don't live in like a little like one block by one block area where you don't do anything but leave that. Well, you have to leave that area to go to McDonald's and Burger Joint. All right, so number two, sad news, although it could be exciting as well. News to service that Media Molecule, the developer responsible for A Little Big Planet, is, quote, stepping away from its beloved series.
Oh.
So basically the studio wants to, quote, focus on some new ideas, which I think is exciting because that studio is very talented.
For sure.
But they're still supporting everything like LBB2 with DLC. Final Fantasy VII costumes are coming out in a couple weeks.
Who's making the Vita game? Is it them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Could be. It seems like all. I don't know for sure, but I mean, it seems like the smaller first party studios are working on the big franchises for Vita, such as Bend. For I guess Uncharted, right?
Who's making Resistance? I forget the name of that studio.
It's not Sony Bend.
No.
What do you mean? What Resistance? What?
There's a Resistance Vita game, isn't there?
No. Not that I know of.
Oh, it's a Killzone.
No, you're talking about the Uncharted Vita game.
I'm sure both of those games are coming to Vita, but I don't think that either of those are going to announce.
I got
to
look into that.
Okay. You may have off-the-record information.
No, I don't. If I do, I will have to delete this segment. the Media Molecule. So Sony bought them last year.
Yeah.
I assume when they bought them, they knew what else they were going to be working on.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I mean, I'm excited to see, it's kind of what we were talking about. I think we were talking about it last week, which was... It would be exciting to see like what Naughty Dog, for instance, does after Uncharted. You know, like you kind of want to see what they do next. They can always go back to Little Big Planet, Media Molecule can. So, yeah. I think
they're going to do another Jack and Daxter game.
Who?
Naughty Dog.
Nice.
Oh, no. Well,
I'm just kidding, actually. By the way, so I'm not going to make that shit.
Some people posted some funny stuff about like I guess Naughty Dog's track record with like their series, and like the fourth game is always a kart racer. So maybe we'll get an Uncharted kart racer on Vita.
That would be awesome.
I'm still waiting for Sony to buy Sucker Punch. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, that would be a smart move.
Speaking of the late to the party edition of Podcast Beyond, I'm playing through that Infamous 2s still. Thanks to Colin, who gave me his copy.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
And I'm really enjoying it.
He came over, I was eating some dinner, but I was glad to run down the copy for you so you can enjoy the Blast Shard collecting and whatnot, man, that we've already
discussed at length.
I don't know when I'm going to get to that game.
You should get to it soon because it's very good.
Speaking of which, I started playing Castlevania last night too.
It's an awesome game.
I like it, but I feel a little sick playing it. Like,
the camera motion?
When you stand still, the camera still moves, like just a little slightly.
You're talking about Lords of Shadow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's definitely very God of War-like.
I got to play that game.
I think it's better than God of War. And I think that they capture, especially in the middle, what world are you in or whatever?
I played like the first, I'm on like the third level, the bog. I just made it through.
Oh, so you're like in the very beginning.
I didn't even make it through the bog. I'm like at the first checkpoint.
Well, whatever. The game's split into chapters. The first chapter, I think, has five stages. The second chapter has like 12.
I do like how there's different ways to go. Mm-hmm. You kind of don't really know which way is the right way. But I guess there's multiple paths through levels.
Yeah, well, there's collectibles to find and stuff. I really love that game. And
it's very gamey.
I think the game captures like the gothic essence of God or Castlevania, especially in the middle chapters. I think the game's really good.
Looks really good too.
I gotta ask this, guys. Mm-hmm. Is anyone else boiling hot in here?
Nope.
No, I'm comfortable.
God,
my
damn.
Neck hurts because I have to arch it to reach this friggin' microphone.
Well, can you adjust the mic?
No, I just want to wear that headset that's sitting there. Should have done that.
We're fine.
What a blunder.
We'll be okay.
Okay, moving on. I think this is exciting news. It looks like the original Crysis is coming to PlayStation 3. ESRB ratings have leaked for both an Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 version of the game, all but confirming the port's existence. No details of service yet about when we can expect the game to launch or if there'll be any extras.
Well, the ESRB thing doesn't necessarily confirm that it's coming.
Although
I've never seen an instance where they've actually rated something and have it not come out.
Yeah, well, I didn't say they confirmed it. I said all but confirms.
Okay.
Because yeah. That really does all but confirm that the game exists.
I could see this being like a download title. I don't know why you'd put this out now on retail.
Yeah.
So I could see if they're going to do like a download.
$20 would be a nice price for it.
Or if they're going to maybe package it in with Crysis 2 or something.
Like a special edition.
I wonder if they're going to address the control issues, because I know that a lot of people had a problem with that power wheel that you had to like flip to do different things.
In Crysis 2?
In Crysis 1.
Oh, I never played Crysis 1.
Oh, okay. Didn't you say that Crysis 1 was coming to PS3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't. We Jim had just mentioned Crysis 2 and maybe the game being bundled, so I just wanted to verify what you were talking about.
I have no interest in playing Crysis.
Well, I do, depending on what the trophies look like. Yeah, but I think that's exciting. Although the graphical fidelity of that game is still seems like it's higher than what consoles can do.
But the game's just meh. Just meh.
That's what I've heard.
But I was playing on Charles' desk with the new patch that makes it even look better, and it's just meh.
Wait, are we talking about Crysis 2 or 1 now?
Crysis 2.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, man, we are talking about Crysis 2. Okay.
It is hard to keep track.
Yeah, I can't. Let's just move on.
All
right. Is PlayStation Network getting redesigned, Jim? There are rumors that the PlayStation Store in particular is getting a refresh. The rumor states that Sony is trying to, quote, declutter the service in favor of an aesthetic layout with logically marked sections and Rolodex lists.
Wow.
I don't know what that really means. The blue background will apparently be replaced by a black background with brighter text colors.
I can't say I've actually used a online service like a store, like iTunes or PSN or Xbox, that actually works and is sorted well, and it's all bullshit. No one knows how to do anything, I guess.
Yeah, the PlayStation store is not very good.
You can't find anything on iTunes. You have to like know what you're looking for before you find it.
What are you talking about?
What?
How can you not find something on iTunes?
You can only just view the most popular, the most downloaded, but you can't just view, like, I want to know action games or games that are between $2 and $3. You have to know what you're looking for before you even go on iTunes.
I thought there were sorting filters you could use.
Not on my iPad. I'm looking at it.
Oh, well. Maybe that's the problem.
I can't find bullshit on that.
That's probably for the best, though, that you can't find bullshit.
PSN redesign, I think it's fine the way it is now.
I wish they would just work on download speeds, personally. But yeah, the only way that's really going to be fixed is if they start charging. So, but I think it's possible.
I think it's very possible.
When
was the last redesign? When did they do the...
We used to run off the browser. That was a long time ago.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was years ago. Years.
I think that was probably the last
time. Like a fucking decade ago, man.
I know. It was a real long time ago, before the internet even existed.
I know. It was just a bunch of pipes with water flowing through it, and then they would pump the data into the water.
Hamsters on wheels.
You would drink the water, and you would get the data.
That sounds more high-tech than the internet. Number five. Today, Bethesda announced a new first-person shooter called Dishonored. It's being developed by Arkane Studios, who helped develop Bioshock 2. Little else is known about the game right now other than that it's coming in 2012. Jim, thoughts?
I'm always down for more cyberpunk futuristic games.
What's the name of this?
Dishonored.
Ryan Clements, it's called Dishonored.
It's a dumb name.
Oh, man.
But I like it. You got the one of the lead designers from the original Deus Ex on this. One of the Half-Life 2 guys on here.
Ooh. They've got a nice little team going there.
It's a nice little team. So I'm interested.
All right.
I don't know. I feel like we have too many first-person shooters.
It's very stealth. It's a stealth game, and you can apparently don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to.
That'd be cool.
So it's not going to be just like a Gears game where you run around shooting people.
Yeah.
So
sounds like a first-person Metal Gear to me.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'm down.
Speaking about, you know, we'll save the Metal Gear talk for later because there's been some disgruntled readers about Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yes,
the game's terrible, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like that game either, but we'll get to it. Number six, Harmonix, the studio behind the original Guitar Hero games and Rock Band, and most recently Dance Central and Dance Central 2, have announced its new game. It's called VidRhythm.
Well, they didn't come out and announce it.
They
confirmed that
it exists.
There was a trademark filing for the name VidRhythm, and they said that's a project we're working on.
Okay, so I'm sorry. It's called VidRhythm.
But yes? Yeah.
And no, we have no other details on the game.
VidRhythm?
VidRhythm.
So I really hope it's not like a motion game again.
Oh, I'm sure
it is. It's probably going to be. When Dance Central, right? Dance Central, not...
Yeah, Dance Central.
Dance Central sold over a million copies, so yeah.
I suspect it will be motion.
Is it so hard that I just want like Amplitude HD? I've been saying it for how many years?
Well, they're working on multiple projects, so this isn't the only thing they're working on.
Man, I hope that they just bring it
I out. Imagine they're going to put out a downloadable game like that. Yeah. That makes sense.
That would be awesome. And then you could just like buy new songs on the store and then just update it. Mm-hmm. And then, oh man.
Put it on your Vita?
Put it on the Vita?
Yeah. Ah!
It's like a recipe for success. Why aren't they doing this?
Everything should be on the Vita.
Yeah.
Everything. Number seven, this really wouldn't interest anyone in this room, but it would have interested Greg. DC Universe Online now has a cash shop. The marketplace allows for in-game microtransactions using Sony Station Cash, which is purchased with real money. Speculation is abound that this signals DCUO's transfer to free-to-play, but there's no more information on if that's the case or not.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Greg would be the only one that really would be able to give insight into that. Jim, you have no insight into this, yes?
I don't give a shit about any of that.
Yeah, and Clements, I imagine you don't really care about that either.
No, I gave my copy of DC Universe back to Greg before ever even playing it.
I have my copy. I haven't opened it.
Yeah.
And maybe I never will. And finally, we're going to get the topic of the week.
What about
Metal Gear? What is this?
Oh, all right. So you want to get Metal Gear out of the way first?
Let
me just go through. Greg, give me some notes here. So Metal Gear Solid 4, you know, we did our top 100 modern game list.
Metal
Gear Solid 4 is nowhere to be found on the list.
Despite getting a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it got a 10. Jeff Haynes, Beyond Alumnus,
yes.
Gave the
Isn't
game.
Isn't it just alum?
Alumnus is singular, right? And alumni is
plural. I think you're right.
So I thought it would just be alum.
It could be.
Beyond alum.
Beyond alum. Beyond alumnus, though, would work too, no?
Oh, I actually don't know.
I think so. Someone will
I think
tell.
Jim's looking it up.
I'm not. I'm just reading my emails.
So someone was, you know, writing in kind of angry about Metal Gear Solid 4 not being on the list. And I don't know if there's a specific letter here or not. I guess there isn't. But he did want me to explain that the reason Metal Gear Solid 4 isn't on the list is because they decided collectively that Peace Walker would be on the list. And we only have one game per franchise on the list so that there's not, you know, clutter there. Because right. otherwise, you know, all three Resistance games would have to be on the list. Or I guess two. We only have, three with Retribution.
Yeah.
And we would have to have both Uncharted games on the list. And we would have to have, both Mass Effects and Gears of War and Halo and all. And it would be, after a while, it would just be cluttered with, you know, Call of Duty and all those games.
No, is that explained in the article?
I think it is. And what Greg said specifically is that if you read the Metal Gear Solid 4 entry or Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker entry, it explains why Metal Gear Solid 4 isn't there. And I think that the rules do state that it is... one game per franchise.
Once you click through all 100 times to find it.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Although I am happy that Demon's Souls made the list.
Did it?
Yeah.
Resistance also made the list.
What number is Demon's Souls?
It made number 100, but it wasn't on the top PS3 games of all time, so it doesn't make any sense to me. But whatever.
Demon's Souls? Well, yeah. You know, so that list was picked, you know, the PS3 list was picked by Clements, myself, and Greg. And none of us had a great affinity for that game compared to the other games. Well,
who else in the office has an affinity for that game besides me?
I don't know. I guess no one. But I mean, there are games on there that, you know, That list isn't supposed to be everyone's opinion. It's supposed to be, you know, our opinion.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Colin.
And the PSN list, I'm really proud of the PSN list, and that was really only me and Greg. And some people have problems with that as well.
What was awesome about that list is you actually gave someone the whole all the games.
Yep, we gave one person a code that gave them all 25 games for free, including
He's working on Sly 4.
He is working on Sly 4. Yeah, I'm actually friends with him on the PlayStation Network.
Wait, it was a single code that gave him 25 games?
Yeah.
How'd you guys work that out?
It's pretty awesome.
Sony hooked us up with it, the guy actually took a video of himself redeeming the code and then all of the downloads coming up in his download queue. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
Man, if
the future of gaming.
I know.
I was always thought about if you just put in random string of numbers and letters, like if you actually got something.
I'm sure you could eventually if you spend
enough
time.
I think they expire. I think
that's is that the way it is? I think you're right because I had a GTA Chinatown Wars code for PSP and I had it for like a year and a half and I went to go use it finally and it didn't work. Okay, so the topic of the week and final news item is this, Jim and Clements. With the release of Resistance 3, Sony is introducing something called the PSN Pass. Similar in nature to the efforts by EA, THQ, and others, the PSN Pass will be a one-use-only code that comes with Resistance 3 that will give gamers access to the title's online modes. This obviously discourages the resale of the game, and anyone who buys it used or rents it will have to purchase the pass on the PlayStation Store.
Good.
What is everyone's thoughts? Clements?
No problem. You want to know why? Because I don't care. Because, you know, I think the grand majority of people have one system at home. They will go home. They will put this code in and end of story. And that's it.
But what if you want to rent it?
Then rent it and play the single player modes to your heart's content.
To me, this doesn't benefit us, the consumers, at all.
Yeah.
It only benefits publishers.
God damn it. You know what? I can't see you.
Okay.
Just lower it down a little bit. There we go. There you go. Yeah.
I hate these microphones.
We're fine. Colin, right. We'll be okay.
Okay. There you go.
This doesn't benefit anybody but the publishers and developers.
Yeah, but don't we want the developers and publishers to get paid for the hard work they put into the game?
Yeah, but
how would you feel if after Demon's Souls came out, all those guys got fired because it didn't sell well, and then they never made another? Then Dark Souls never got made.
Well, this is a way for them to monetize online play.
Yeah.
People play online more than they play single player, right? To me, there's a way you can do it for the benefits of everybody. This is not the way though, and I don't know what the way is, but clearly the business model we have now is broken if they have to implement these codes and these features.
Well, to me, I mean, it kind of goes back to what you were saying last week, which was, you know, maybe have a system where I think the happy medium would be to like sell the game, the single player game, for $30 or $40, and then if you want to access the multiplayer, everyone pays for it, you know, right off the bat or whatever on PlayStation Network or whatever it is, or use, you know, for another $10 or $20. And then that way everyone, you know, has the option to just get the disc with the single player game, but you have to have that to play the multiplayer, and then everyone has to pay into that or not if you don't want to. Like for me, I don't care because I mean, Resistance I will definitely play online, but for most games, that doesn't really concern me, you know?
Most developers I've talked to said the issue with, they don't care about used games. It's, that's fine. You can sell your games used. It's that they're not getting a cut of the money. So GameStop takes a new game at $60, sells it for use at $55. It's all pure profit for them.
I just can't. I mean, this is problematic to me, Ryan, because if you're going into the store a week or two after a game comes out and you're buying a used copy of the game for $5 off, what is that all about?
It's people do it.
I can't believe that. Like, why wouldn't you just spend the extra $5 and get the new game just to have the game new? I mean, if you have $55, I don't think $60 is going to break the bank.
Well, the issue now is, and GameStop's currently in a lawsuit about this, is if someone buys the game used, because GameStop will likely sell the codes for these games as well. Like, oh, if you buy it, you know, oh, you know, you need a code to play this online. Here's the code. It'll be, you know, I don't know, probably $5, $10, whatever. But people buy the lawsuit currently is, now if someone bought a game used and it advertised on the package that you got the, you know, free included was a number of downloadable content for free, but of course they bought it used and that content was not free, they had to pay for it,
and they sued over that.
Yeah,
wow, it's a class action.
And I think so. I'm pretty, okay. It's about a year old now.
Okay.
And so actually if you buying it used and then buying the content was actually cost more than buying it new, which we got the content free. So that's going to be, I think, an issue. going forward for them. They have to figure something out. Yeah. So GameStop might not be able to charge only $5 cheaper for using them.
It's kind of nuts that they're even able. I guess what I'm saying is it's crazy that the marketplace demands these $5 off used games for that's just weird because they wouldn't do it if the market didn't demand it.
But the market, I think used games actually helps the industry to some extent because a lot of people only buy new games when trading in their old games. Like I think yearly copies of Call of Duty and Madden are sold based solely on people trading in old games.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the same, I don't know how much of that actually contributes to that. Like I don't know how big the pie is of used to new sales.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on this, Ryan?
No, not really, man. I guess I'm just like I just don't care about all that, you know. Like I for the most part, it doesn't influence me because I always buy my stuff new to support the industry, which usually means I just have to put in a code if I want to play online. If I don't want to play online, I don't put in the code.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, I guess I'm of two minds with this. On one hand, I don't buy used games, and I really haven't bought used games since I was in middle school.
Right.
Like, so even when I, you know, like the last used game I bought, as far as I remember, believe it or not, is Beyond the Beyond, which was a PlayStation RPG, which was a complete turd. So I'm actually glad I bought it used. But, and that was, I was in eighth grade. So that was in like 1997. Since then, I mean, even when I didn't have a lot of money in high school and I was working at a deli or whatever, and I only had, you know, very limited funds, and in college, obviously my funds were arguably even more limited. I still bought games new because, you know, I kind of just want to have the new game, and, you know, with like N64 games and stuff, you wanted like, you know, fresh batteries and the cartridge, and, you know, it's just, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I had to take those things into account. People were scratching the discs. PlayStation games, you know, the black discs were especially susceptible to being scratched.
You never wanted to get a disc-based game used.
Yeah.
I mean, you open those things up and they look like they went like through the fucking World War II.
You know? It was nuts. I mean, like, Blu-rays are obviously much better now. I mean, they're hard to scratch. But yeah, back in the day, like those black discs were like really, really easy to scratch.
I rebought my copy of Final Fantasy VII at GameStop, and it was mint. It's still mint.
Very nice.
I traded it in, and then I bought it back 2 months later.
I have a mint copy of VII as well.
Yeah. My copy of VII is like in a state of disrepair. Like the jewel case.
But the issue here is you can't borrow games really anymore to play online.
Right.
If you buy a used copy, you got paid to play online. If I like. I'm buying a copy of Demon's Souls used import. If I wanted to play online, I'd have to put in code. You don't have to put in code. But, you know, presumably at some point in the future, I would for that type of game. I just think I just think locking out features that you have to end later pay is just a bad move. And what ultimately has to happen is we have to move towards free-to-play model or a Netflix style model, in which case it will all be irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in the sense that this isn't the final solution for the problem that publishers and developers are seeing with monetary flow. But at the same time, like right now, I think that the solution works and it makes sense because you know, there are four units that are involved in the sale of a game.
Well, so why are people buying used copies?
Well, because they want, you know, and I'm not judging someone that wants to buy a used copy. That's great. They want it because it's cheaper.
Exactly.
Games
are too much money nowadays.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with that. Although we have to remember, well, I'll get to that in a second. And I don't judge a person for wanting to buy used, especially because a lot of people buy used. And I know because I talk to people on Twitter and I read comments and people, you know, message me and stuff. And they buy used games. A lot of people buy used games, not because they're cheaper necessarily, but because they see game X and they're like, this game isn't worth $60. So I'm going to wait until it's 20 and then I'll buy it. You know, because
I don't buy any games
because
$60.
Because I do. I mean, that's what. But we have to remember something, and what I think what's really important to remember, and a lot of people that listen to this podcast maybe are too young to remember, is that NES games and SNES games and Genesis games and N64 games were much more than $60 sometimes.
Not all of them.
Phantasy Star was $100 when it came.
There were select games that were expensive.
Well, games with big batteries and big chips were more expensive. I bought Final Fantasy VI rather, which is Final Fantasy III on Super Nintendo, I think, for $75. That was in 1994. So inflated, with the inflated money now and stuff like that.
And that's a good excuse.
But Phantasy Star 4 was $100 when it came out. You know what I mean? So games were more expensive back in the day. And, you know, I think NES games were $40 or $50 except for like Dragon Warrior and games with big chips, Final Fantasy. But the point is that games were more expensive at one time. And
when they
games,
were cartridge-based, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously they're more expensive than manufacturer. Right. Majora's Mask, again,
Neo Geo
costs
like $1,000 to get a game.
Yeah, Neo Geo was really expensive. Also because those games were scarce. The point is that, yeah, maybe games are a little too expensive. I think games are expensive, though, because of the middleman. And like you said, like once the middleman's cut out, which is basically what you're talking about, then the problem will kind of solve itself. But at the same time, I look at this issue and I see the four units that are involved in the sale of a game, which is the retailer and the consumer, but mm-hmm. then the publisher and the developer. Mm-hmm. And the money, most of the money in a new game sale is really funneled to the publisher and then to the developer. But a used game, none of it's funneled to them. And so I understand why, if they can make a deal with GameStop, which will never happen, where they're like, we get a cut of the used game sales to make everyone happy, then that's right. But that obviously that's not going to happen. And also we have to deal with the fact that GameStop's really not going to be irrelevant to what we were talking about last yeah. week in 10 years. So I think it's just something we have to deal with for now.
No, and then yeah, it's something definitely that, like, it's a band-aid.
Yeah,
it's a band-aid.
I agree.
It's a bullshit band-aid though.
Is everyone satisfied with topic of the week?
That was great.
I guess so. Okay. I just think we should clarify this. This is, I think, so far what they said. It's a game-by-game basis. It's not going to be all... They didn't say it's going to be all first-party or all first-party or all right. third-party. And they haven't talked about how much you'd have to pay for the pass if you bought
it. Yeah. So here's my theory on that. And maybe Clements, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this.
We also should say that Sony also did this previously with two PSP games, Mod Nation Racers. And SOCOM Fire Team Bravo 6 or whatever it's called, they did this entitlement pass that you had to.
Oh, I remember that was SOCOM, actually. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I think
that
it's only two games they've done so far. But anyway, continue uh-huh. calling.
But so my theory about the PSN pass is going to be this. I think it'll be for Resistance, and I also think it's going to be attached to Twisted Metal and Uncharted. Now, I think Uncharted
is definitely a good
one. And I think that it will be $10. But okay. I think what would be really cool is if Sony offered something on PlayStation Store where you can buy $25 pass or something that for a year gives you access to any game that is locked under this umbrella. And obviously they couldn't do that immediately, but once more games maybe in 2012 start coming out that use it, they can have this catch-all where it's like, if you really want to buy used games or you rent games or you borrow games, and you just pay $20 and the pass will unlock the online mm-hmm. most for everything. Because that doesn't seem like something that other companies have really done yet. It's like something that seems to be more on a game-by-game basis. So if they do it with all their first-party games, then, you know, more power to him. I think that would be cool. But I do suspect that Twisted Metal and Uncharted will have the pass as well. But that's obviously not verified. It would be a real disaster for Twisted Metal since that game is all online.
It's not online. There's off.
Yeah, but that game's emphasis is it's online gameplay. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say? I don't think the emphasis on Resistance and Uncharted are online.
The emphasis in Twisted Metal.
Well, a million people have played the Uncharted beta. Hmm? A million people have played the Uncharted.
Is that what they said?
That's what I saw. I saw it on Twitter late last night or something. Wow. I couldn't find a source for that.
Oh, it wasn't from Naughty Dog.
It was someone from, like, I couldn't find an actual story with actual data. It was just someone said, congratulations, Naughty Dog, on the millionth, whatever. I don't know.
We'll have to look that up. That'd be an interesting story.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that, speaking of Twisted Metal, mm-hmm. I think that the focus is on multiplayer, but not necessarily online. I mean, they're split screen as well, right? Unless they've taken that out.
Well, I think there's split screen.
In Twisted Metal, you're saying?
Yes.
I played the game, and I only played it online, so I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Maybe
other previous games had split screen. I think like the appeal for that game is like the on-the-couch multiplayer.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, yeah.
So. To me, the appeal is playing online, but okay. I'm not like a Twisted Metal fan, really.
Right.
And obviously, you know, I guess Resistance with the co-op campaign and stuff like that is going to... Or a game like Killzone, really, that has co-op campaign would be affected by that.
But see, like, just to go back to the PlayStation Plus thing, like, and not to go to Xbox here, but you're paying money to use Xbox Live to play your games online, and then you have to pay $10 to then unlock the online features. It's bullshit.
Yeah, but I mean,
and if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you have to pay more money to unlock. It's just, to me, that's just bullshit.
Yeah, I agree with you, but is Microsoft first party publishing doing that? Like putting pat, like if they are they going to do it with Gears? Because if so, then you're right.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter.
But they can't. It's
not, you're paying $10 or what is it? $5 a month for Xbox. I forget how much it is. I don't pay for it now. But it's for online for all the games. So it doesn't. I don't think it matters that if Microsoft's doing it or not.
Yeah, but I guess the point I'm saying is that they can't control what third parties are doing. So if EA wants to sell Madden and say like you can't, they can't.
That's why Activision's doing their Call of Duty Elite, because they know millions of people are playing Call of Duty online all the time and not seeing a dime of it. So that's why they're doing that.
At the end of the day, I think the reason Clements agrees with it, and I think the reason I agree with it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is it's just that publishers and developers need to see more of the funds from the middleman. And if this discourages
if you want more games to be made of the game you're buying, then buy it new. Don't spend the extra $5 and then help everybody out.
Yeah, and like I said, I can't understand the buying used for $5 less. I can understand buying used for $10 less.
Mom comes in, she says, hey, I want Dead Space 3 for my son. and they say GameStop, well, you can get it $5 cheaper if you buy it used. Here you go. And she goes, oh, great. And she doesn't understand, like, the concept, I don't think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Of that.
I think even some devout gamers don't understand that concept because they're not in it for the economics of it.
Yeah, some people don't give a shit about that. Yeah. Just, it's cheaper, I'm going to buy it, or I'll just pirate it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that so many people still pirate games and torrent shit is just an indication that they don't give a shit about supporting the industry, which always frustrates me.
Yeah, that's nuts. That to me, I think renting games and buying used is fine. I think that doesn't disqualify you as being a real gamer. Yeah, but pirating and torrenting, you know, games is...
That's why clownery. That's why we're all going to be at some point free-to-play, because then they'll want you to pirate it. It's free-to-play.
Only clowns pirate. Okay. So I guess that's it. That's it for
Yeah.
I'm not doing the toe sound.
You don't have to do that. That was good.
Are you going to do the new sound?
I'm not doing that either.
No?
Nope.
Oh, I really like the new. That's like my favorite
host today.
Things.
I'm not doing any of that.
All right. Well,
that's fine. You guys know to hell.
All right. Well, I probably will anyway.
I'll see you there.
So that's the update. Should we do the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors? I suspect we will.
I dropped some paper. Hold on.
Two of these games might have came out last week. I don't really remember. So I just wrote them all down. Resistance Duel Pack came out today. Or this week. So if you want to play Fall of Man Resistance 2, you can do that. Great. And you should, because they're good. Earth Defense Force.
How much is that, by the way?
I think it's $30 or $40.
If it's $30, it's pretty good value. I think it's $40. Fuck that.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. Earth Defense Force, Insect Armageddon.
Oh, man.
I was watching Anthony play this. I don't know when his reviews... I think it's out. We can talk about it.
Yes, it is out, so we can talk about the game.
His review is not live yet, though. It looks pretty fun, I gotta say. It's $40. And it's got... I don't know if it has drop-in, drop-out co-op, but you can't play it online. You can play it co-op online. And I don't think it's put in a code to play it online, but it used either. It looks like it's damn fun.
It is damn fun. I was half asleep when I went up to the capture bay to help Anthony play some split screen for his review. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, I was having a good time and I was barely conscious.
It definitely looks, you know, it's a low budget, but I think this is an instance where the gameplay will just...
Yeah, it's like the perfect example of a game where, you know, okay, yes, this game doesn't look particularly good, but it's fun and there's jetpacks in this one.
Fun is what matters.
Yeah.
Who cares what a game looks like? That's the least important thing about a game. I keep saying that over and over again. It's the least important thing. How a game controls.
You're wrong.
How it plays. The presentation values in terms of, is it easy to find what you're doing and what you need to do and where you need to go.
I think the number of polygons isn't the end all be all, but the art style.
There's a big difference.
That enhances the game, but I think that you can have a solid game that looks like... Look at a game. Like, I love River Raid on Atari 2600. That game looks like crap. You know? But that game's fun as hell. Who cares? And remaking it or retouching that game would make no sense because the game is fun in the essence of what it is. I think the way a game looks and sounds is important in terms of taking
into
account.
This is for a different reason.
Hold
different
on a second, though. No. This is
the conversational podcast.
I'm hosting the show, goddammit.
No, Jim, we're all hosting it. Shut up. The fact of the matter is that video games are video games, mm-hmm. right?
That's
so
right.
By definition, if you are a developer and you're making a video game, you have to care about what it looks like. You can't just ignore the video part and just do the game part, or else you should just make a board game or a card game or something. And even then, you could argue there's some art style there and how it's presented. But like you, I'm not saying that the visuals take precedence over the gameplay, but it is supposed to be a visual, audio, and sensory experience. It's combining all those together. So if you are lacking... I mean, if it's the ugliest game of all time, even if it was like a really, if it was cool, had a cool idea or something, or the gameplay was fun. I mean, if it looks so terrible that it's just, why would you play that as opposed to a game that not only plays well, but also looks nice.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think I love when a game looks great and sounds great. All I'm saying is that when you take everything a game does into account, gameplay, the essence of the gameplay and the way the game feels, controls, that's what's most important. You know, are you having fun with the game?
Killer 7 plays like shit, but it's still a fun game because it looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really. I guess I'm coming up and really enjoying more retro games or whatever, and I look at those games now, and I'm like, these games look like crap, but they still play better than most of the games we play today, frankly.
Well, but there's a point to be made about, are those visuals conducive to the gameplay. As in, you know, yeah, the game may look like crap, but can you understand what's happening on the screen? Is it like, are you able to like take all this this visual information in, and does that translate into the gameplay? Because then that's good, because then the game can quote unquote look like crap in our opinion, but if like those visuals are feeding into making that gameplay experience good, I would say that it's still, it could still be a good looking game.
Yeah, you know, I take that into account. I take that into account with you know, a game that comes to mind about that's visually striking that enhances the gameplay is Outland.
Right.
But not all games are like that, I don't think. I guess what I'm saying is that, like, you know, graphical fidelity is important.
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's important, but it's, you know, the essence of gaming is gaming, you know, not looking at something that's pretty. That's art.
I mean, it doesn't have to be pretty, but it's still like, if you, like I said, if you're choosing to make an interactive visual medium, then you have already decided to video has to be as important as the other things. Not as important.
I'm not
but
saying,
it's, but it's important.
Had to be more important than the others, but I yeah, think equally.
They kind of, they have to all fit together.
Yeah,
because you know, or else it's not a video game. It's just a game.
All right, next we're moving on.
All right, we need the PlayStation Store update.
Yeah. Oh yes, I've got that covered for you guys. Mm-hmm. All right, so this week we had a shit ton of stuff actually, including PlayStation Move Ape Escape. For $19.99. What do you think about that?
So this is expensive. A download move game?
It's a downloadable move game continuing the, quote, beloved Ape Escape saga, end quote.
The beloved Ape Escape saga?
The beloved Ape Escape saga.
Okay. I like Ape Escape, but yeah. I didn't know it was a saga.
It has 15 diverse levels filled with over 500 different monkeys to capture.
Jesus Christ.
Also, there are some PS1 classics here, some imports mm-hmm. that I thought had some interesting names. There's okay. Rapid Angel mm-hmm. and Yakiniku Bugyu.
Okay.
Bugyu. I'm not sure how to say that. But it's a game based on Yakiniku, the Japanese grilled meat, as a theme. Players that will become a Yakiniku master. You must prepare and cook the food and attend to your customers to level up the chef's scale.
Okay. Come on, we have breaking news.
What is it, buddy?
It's not amazing breaking news. Konami announces Castlevania Harmony of Despair for PlayStation 3.
Yes.
What's that?
I love it. That's the downloadable game that came out to Xbox Live last year. Nice. Like the multiplayer Symphony of the Night style game.
Let's see when it's coming.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was supposed to be good, right?
Yeah, that game was supposed to be a lot of fun, and I love me some Castlevania.
I know.
Why don't they release
this later this summer on PS3?
Excellent. So it'll be about a year since it was on Xbox. So that's fits into the usual schedule.
Also added to the PlayStation version is the, quote, Beauty, Desire, and Situation Dire map pack.
Cool. I'm excited about that. That's good news.
Also, for all you Mortal Kombat fans out there, you can download the Kenshi DLC, which came out this week. He is a character from, I want to say, Mortal Kombat Armageddon or whatever it's called.
I have no idea.
Kenshi?
He has the blindfold on.
Yeah, he is a blind swordsman, a blind telekinetic swordsman.
No, he's in one of the original games. He's a fighter.
Deadly Alliance, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, I forgot where he originally cropped up, but he is back, and he's pretty badass. But it's still $5 for a single character.
That's bullshit, now, by the way.
All right, so here's the
thing. Should be a dollar.
Here's the thing that I would like to point out to a lot of people, okay? Characters are a huge addition to a fighting game because they are basically a core part of the experience. They have to be taken into account in terms of balancing, in terms of not only their visual design but their audio design. I mean, there's a ton of shit. This is not just like a costume, so I understand that. But you also have to think about it, like, what did the original roster have? Like, something like 25 characters? I mean, I forgot what the roster did. But think about all the characters that you paid for at the beginning, and now you're paying an entire $5 more for just a single extra character.
See, to me, this would be a good free-to-play game. Just, you pay per character. You pay for whoever you want to fight as. Because, to me, taking characters out of what could have been in the full game and then charge $5 for some bullshit.
I disagree with that pricing. I definitely don't buy
the game used and then buy it.
I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. I understand. Like if I like Mortal Kombat a lot. So if I was just like really hardcore playing this game and $5 for another character, I'd totally buy it. I mean, I totally understand why people want to go out and buy that. And $5 isn't a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, considering that is a single beer at a bar.
Capcom's model of sort of re-releasing the game down the road with not only new characters, but new modes and shit. and charging only $40 for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the best model either, but.
Hey, Colin, you know, we have talked about Burnout Paradise a lot on Podcast Beyond. Do you agree?
Yes.
Over the years.
That's got a great intro, by the way.
What's that?
With the Guns N' Roses. I love it.
Good for trophies, too.
I would like to point out that Burnout Paradise, full game plus bundle.
Okay.
So this is, let's see, this bundle contains the full digital version of Burnout Paradise with all cars and bikes unlocked, so you can jump right into your favorite ride. The bundle also includes the Boost Special Cars, the Hawker Mech, and the Carson Extreme Hot Rod. This entire bundle is $7.99.
We also for the game?
For the game with everything unlocked.
Wow. We also have more breaking news, gentlemen.
Yes.
Neil Berger is the director of the Uncharted Drake's Fortune movie. Wait, no, it's not called Uncharted Drake's Fortune. Just the Uncharted movie. The director is Neil Berger.
Who is that?
What has he done? What has Neil done, Jim?
Tell me.
I'm reading.
I will say that our voices do sound really different in this setup.
My God.
My God. Is that glass bulletproof? Oh, by the way, for those who haven't seen Independence Day recently, fucking Jane from Firefly is in that movie. I had no idea.
Yeah. He directed so young. The movie Limitless.
Limitless? Does anyone know what that movie is?
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. What else?
I don't know. Let's move on.
Okay.
There'll be something up on IGN eventually.
Guess what PlayStation Mini we have for today, Carl? For this week.
Is it Ninja something?
It's Ninja Mirai.
Yeah.
Or Ninjamirai.
Ninjamirai?
Ninjamirai.
Like,
yeah.
How much is it?
It is $199.
$17. Oh, $199? Okay, yeah, that's a reasonably priced.
That's also the minis. That's a broken. It's a broken business.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, really?
Are they making any money off of those?
I doubt it.
If you're a developer, you do not want to release a mini exclusively.
I haven't played many of them, so I don't know. I know that the quality of most of them, talking to other editors, has been pretty poor. But that a space shooter for $2, that game was fucking awesome.
Does this translate to Vita? Do we know if you can play minis on Vita?
I don't know.
I assume you would.
Yeah, I imagine that you probably would. Because you can play the PSP downloadable games on Vita, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't see why you
would. I sure hope so, because I'm going to rock some Dissidia on that shit.
I do want to add something, by the way, because I saw this on PlayStation Blog right before we got in here, and I wanted to just bring it to everyone's attention since we will not, this will start before the next episode of Podcast Beyond.
Okay.
Next week, they're doing a summer sale on PlayStation Store, and I thought it was pretty interesting because these 10 games are 30% off for everyone and 50% off if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber. And when I look at the list of games, I'm like, these are all pretty damn good games that
I'm
we
ready.
Have on this list.
So you
ready? I'm going to read them all.
Give me the list.
Back to the Future, the game, full series.
The full series?
Yep. For PlayStation, so I'm just going to read the PlayStation Plus price for every one of them.
So that's half off.
So it's $9.79 for all of them. Chime Super Deluxe, which is quite fun, is $4.89. Dead Space Extraction is $7.34. Hardcore Uprising is $7.34.
Oh, I need to get that.
Pac-Man Championship Edition DX is $4.89. Pixel Junk Shooter 2 is $4.89. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Risk Factions, which I had a lot of fun with, is $4.89. Shank is $4.89. Scott Pilgrim is $4.89. Swarm, which I really loved, is $4.89. And Tales from Space, About a Blob, is $7.34. I own half those games, but I'm going to be buying everything I don't own because it's pretty damn cheap.
I need to get Hardcore Uprising. I don't know why I missed that.
I have it, and I'm not like super blown away by it because it's, I don't know, I didn't spend much time with it. But it's fun, and it looks really cool.
Yeah. I'm just an Arc System Works fan, so.
I understand. The best game on that list, in my opinion, Pac-Man's pretty damn good.
Shatter.
Yeah, Shatter's pretty good. Damn good, but it's not on there. Yeah, Swarm is a really good game, too. I don't think a lot of people played it, though. So that's that. Should we move on to some reader mail? Wrap things up?
Yeah, I'm doing... I would like to point out, Kyle, that we've been recording for 53 minutes.
Oh, okay,
so.
Well, we'll be quick.
That's a new laptop you got over there,
It is a new laptop.
Does it shut off after an hour of recording now, or do we know?
No, it does not shut
off. Okay, we can actually record longer than an hour now.
We could always record for longer than an hour. You're just doing it wrong.
What happened?
In the old GarageBand we had set up, it was designed to cut off at a certain time, but you can change that in the options.
Oh.
By the way, so the first thing for, I guess, pick of the week with a question mark Greg put, Kevin Garaventa wrote us in and said, you have to mention on the podcast that Burnout Paradise Complete Bundle is $8 on the PSN store. So we did get to it. I'm sorry I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But beyond to you, Kevin. And I guess that will be our pick of the week. Just
I'm going Earth Defense Force.
All right.
Actually, yeah, to be totally fair, I'm really excited to play that game.
I don't really have an opinion, so I'll just go.
I'd rent it. At the very least, rent it and check it out.
Yeah, rent it.
If you got like a sleepover or something this weekend.
A sleepover?
Yeah.
So I want to know how old can you be for where it's still socially acceptable?
Pre high school. Once you get into high school,
are sleepovers?
Well, I was crashing at my friend's house.
You don't sleep over. Yeah. Sleepover is like something you plan ahead.
Right.
I'm gonna bring my games over. We're gonna play this. We're gonna do that.
But I think you could totally plan a crash ahead. You could be like, yo, let's just game all night, and then I'll pass out there.
It's just calling it different things.
It's all about the phrasing. Yeah. I still remember how traumatized I was when I was like really young, but I was still asking like my friends, hey, you want to come over and play? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, let's come play. And you're like, they don't say
put,
that
you
anymore.
Put on your play clothes. That was the big thing with my mom.
Change your jeans.
Put on your play clothes.
Jesus Christ. All right.
It was so funny.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, I think about like sleeping over my good friend's houses when I was young and needed sleep. Or at least, you know, we would stay up and everyone would go to bed. We'd watch like Beavis and Butthead because that was like really illicit. And, like, and then I would sleep on the floor next to them. But then like when we were older and I'd sleep at their house, you know, or at this particular friend's house.
You just watched porn.
Well, yes, that. But then I would like sleep on the couch downstairs, you know, because I knew you kind of have to separate and give each other their own space.
No, see, like a sleepover is like, oh, you know, weekend, you go rent, you get to rent one game, you know.
I always loved the whole like you go as a group and you guys all rent a game or a movie together or something and then you go check it out.
Those were the days. Those days are long behind us. Yes. Now
now life's so depressing.
I know it really is.
now it's like you want to come over and hang out? No, I got about 4,000 things to do.
So. And I have to pay my bills. So go fuck off.
Oh my god.
My god, I have to pay this Verizon bill. Okay. All right. So
who is that? You're intimidated. Or who is that?
What? My God.
Is that Jeff Haynes?
No. God. We're doing an Independence Day quote. It's this general in Independence Day that's advising the president, and he has the exact same "My God" expression on his face for the entire movie. And every emotion is somehow tampered with this like face of like "My God."
And, like, he does say it though.
And he actually does say "My God" at some point.
Like a Metal Gear reference. Or something.
Yeah. No, it was not.
Metal Gear.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have a reader mini review from someone, and I want you to read it, Clemens.
Okay.
It's right here.
I'm ready. Thank you. It's the big paragraph here?
Yeah.
All right. This is from David, associate editor at IGN 1UP Entertainment applicant.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. I didn't really. I think he's applying for something.
Oh, he's an applicant. Oh, he's okay. I see. Okay. Got it. This is for Monster Hear Me Roar. Is a PS mini that takes a similar concept of Pac-Man, but adds its own mix to the table. You're a monster that looks like something from Where the Wild Things Are, but more colorful. The object of the game is to consume as much floating balls as you can, called Dream Essence, until the time runs out and the amount of dreams you eat determines the type of star you get from bronze to gold. So once you get to the biggest form, you feel unstoppable. You just run over everything and eat everything, and it's pretty fun, and the music kicks in, just makes you feel like a badass.
That was quite the sentence.
You are also given abilities which let you fart dash, slash, and roar. There are also pickup items such as rotten cheese that lets you puke on other monsters, rendering them vulnerable, or chili soup that allows you to let out a huge fart, blowing up other monsters nearby. So if you want some nasty humor, I would recommend this game. It's actually free for PS Plus members, which should be about everyone right now.
That's true. Okay.
All right, then. So there's that.
Hand that over.
So I would say that was
a great review.
If you are an applicant for...
Jesus, Jim.
If you're an applicant for a position, I would just recommend just make sure you go through that. Trim down those sentences a little bit. Just be careful.
Yeah, those are big sentences.
This is different for everybody. For a review for me, I want to know how you felt playing the game. I don't want like a list of bullet points of what
exactly.
The game has.
Right.
You know, I don't care about that.
Remember, there is no such thing as a review with no opinions in it.
Right.
A review is an opinion. Right. Anyone who tells you otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about.
So don't be afraid to put in your opinion.
I also have no idea what the game's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't really understand it. Okay, so questions. Let's see. I don't know what I want to read. We have some one-off questions, and you're going to answer all of Greg's questions for him.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm pretty qualified to do that, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Knighted Colin Moriarty superfan Jonathan Cordero. Greg slash Jim, you're not a fan of Marvel Universe compared to the DC Universe. If Marvel blinked the continuity like DC is this summer, could they win you over?
No.
Okay. Ryan.
Yes.
Game already released this year that you wish you could have reviewed.
That's a good question. Can I pass?
No.
All right. Already released this year that I wanted to review. I kind of wanted to review the Transformers game that Arthur reviewed because I wanted to check it out.
Okay.
So there's that.
And he asked me the best documentary you've watched recently. I watched this awesome HBO documentary about Bobby Fischer, the chess player. I can't remember what it's called, but it was on demand as of a week ago, so you can just go check it out if you have HBO on demand. It was very good. And I like Bobby Fischer, and I like chess a lot. So, let's see. Sam asks, how is Ryan doing in the Super Street Fighter HD 4th Anniversary competition? Or SSHD, is that? I'm sorry. Super Stardust. HD 4th Anniversary competition.
I have not participated.
I was going to say, Street Fighter hasn't been out for 4 years.
Yeah.
Clements, I haven't told you about this, but at E3, I told on the last podcast, I talked about this too. I was playing the Vita game. And the producer, who I think he was producer there, he's like, yeah, only one guy beat it so far. And this guy at IGN, he's like the spiky red hair or whatever. I was like, that's Clements.
Yeah, it was funny. And now, I mean,
that's... You played it. You sat there and played it until you beat it.
Yes, correct. But I mean, I did it in one sitting without dying. But at the same time, don't think that's a feat. I mean, I think it's just because that game can be very overwhelming for someone that's just kind of coming in at first and like giving it a shot. That's probably why people weren't beating it. Because, I mean...
Well, they were showing... When I played it, they were showing me all the features and I was not able to really pay attention to the screen, which is usually the way it is when at a demo like that.
I got bored of it.
Well, that's awful taste then that you have.
Yeah.
Because that game's awesome.
Dark Souls, October 4th. Okay. Pre-order now.
Let's see. This is an interesting question. This is from Fran, not Fran Mirabella, I suspect.
By the way, we're reaching an hour's mark.
Okay.
And Fran's hair is following me on Twitter, by the way.
Fran's hair is a new Twitter. Oh, good. No. At Fran's hair.
It might be Fran underscore hair. It's
Fran. So Fran asks, I'm looking to get an N64 and I'm just looking for some game recommendations. This is an interesting question.
GoldenEye, obviously. I say WCW versus NWO Revenge, not the other one. I get Revenge.
Okay. Those are the games?
No, I'm not done yet.
What about, like, you know, Ocarina of Time?
Oh, yeah, Ocarina of Time, Mario 64, obviously a pretty good game.
Yeah. Ryan?
I actually liked Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark's a good game.
That game's crap.
Okay.
It really wasn't crap.
It's crap.
I would say my favorite Zelda game is Majora's Mask, and I would definitely say to pick that one up.
I'll get both of them.
Also, Konami released a game called Hybrid Heaven, which is pretty good. That was on N64. And I really like Castlevania 64, even though a lot of people don't enjoy it very much.
I don't recommend
that. So I recommend you pick that up as well. Mm. Isn't that right, Jim?
No. Wait, we gotta think of more. There's gonna be more games than that. Come on.
There are. I mean, a lot of first-party stuff. I mean, you can play Jet Force Gemini. You can play... Pilot Wings was pretty good. That was a launch game, and it was only two launch games, so you didn't have much to select from.
I still remember going to Toys R Us today that had Mario 64 up. I was just blown the fuck away.
I'm not a huge fan of that game, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
The revolutionary platformer?
That's right. That's the one.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a good game.
Colin, you crack me up. You should host more often.
Well, maybe I will one day when Greg isn't here again.
Yes.
So Alex G asks, what do you guys think about developers picking up a franchise where another left off, such as with the new Sly Cooper? Does it make you nervous that they will not do as good of a job or know the IP well enough?
We talked about this last week with Uncharted. We were thinking that the next Uncharted games would be handed off.
And that doesn't really concern you, right?
No, because like I said, the blueprint's already there, right? I mean, if you saw any of the video for Sly 4, it looks like Sly Cooper. I mean, there's obviously some... It would be the pie look different if Sucker Punch was doing it. You know, it would have that Sucker Punch touch to it.
Right.
But I think the blueprint's already there. I think for something like Uncharted, for example, same writers on the game. You probably even get some of the artists from that game on there, too. I don't think it's as big of an issue as it may have used to be years ago. Like, I probably think of a famous game of Switch developers and turn out to be shit the next one.
Well, the you know, he's talking specifically about Sly Cooper, obviously, so he's talking about Sucker Punch to Sanzaru. Now, when I saw Sly 4 at E3, the game looked immaculate, basically. Just the demo that we saw looked just like a Sly game. So, like you were saying, like, that looks like Sly Cooper. It plays like Sly Cooper. Who knows what the final product will look like? I mean, that was obviously a well-polished you know, but I'm really excited to play that game, and I think it will, I don't think you're really gonna be able to tell the difference. Another game that comes to mind is Mega Man 9 and 10, which were not done by Capcom at all. They were done by Anycreates. So, and those play just like old Mega Man games that you wouldn't know the difference.
There's gotta be some examples of series that have switched developers and who turned out to be shit. I'm trying to think. I know there have been. I'm trying to think of something.
Yeah, I don't know why anything's coming. Oh, I mean, Fallout 3 to Fallout New Vegas. Okay, I mean, a lot of people had problems with Fallout. I think New Vegas is a better game, but it definitely didn't run better. And Obsidian has this stigma of not doing well with that in those kinds of situations. Whether or not people, because KOTOR, KOTOR 2.
But at the end of the day, though, But at the end of the day, the games looked and played similar.
Yeah, because Bethesda Game Studio already made the blueprint, like you said, and so that
they oversaw most of it.
You're basically modding the game.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it's much more complicated than that. But
I mean, and look at the Uncharted Vita game; it looks like an Uncharted game.
Yeah, it does. That game looks beautiful. It's just like Drake's Fort. Yeah. You have any input?
I will say that I agree that it can make me nervous because I mean things can happen. So if it's not the original creators, I always get like a little. You know, I hold my I have my reservations for a while, but you know.
Holding a reservation is a Seinfeld thing, you know, when he goes to the car thing and he's like, you took my reservation, but now you must hold the reservation because they give the car reservation away. And he goes, he reserves the car, and then he goes and gets the car and it's not there anymore. He's like, anyone can take a reservation.
I think the games are just so much money nowadays that a risk.
I totally forgot about that.
A risk like that is something that you have to be very careful about, and where, you know, if you're going to have another developer take on an Uncharted, it's going to be a very big budget project. You're obviously not going to go and fuck it up intentionally.
Plus, I'm sure Naughty Dog will send their people over. I mean, when we saw Sly and they were talking about the game, Sanzar was saying that they're in contact with Sucker Punch like regularly, like, you know, multiple times a week, and they send them builds of the game and they're giving them feedback.
So everyone was concerned when David Jaffe left God of War, the God of War team, to do something else, and then they brought in Corey Barlog to do God of War 2. And it turned out to be an awesome game.
So. Yeah.
And then Stig came in for 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that his name?
Yep. No? Stig Osmussen.
Yep.
Met him at DICE.
Cool. Did you guys like fight gods together?
No, we didn't fight gods together.
All right.
He's a good guy though.
God, I am. You know, I got to apologize to the Beyond community here because I'm actually like half dead right now.
It's okay.
I do not feel well.
You're tired.
Yeah, I'm just very sleepy.
You're feeling a little ill. We'll do two more quick fires and then we'll wrap this bastard up.
All right.
Zach asks.
You know what? Yeah, it needs to go fast because I need to edit this before Megan gets in here.
We'll do quick. Zach asks quickly. Ryan, what is the most recent anime that you have watched?
Fuck. Come back to me.
What is that one about? back to me. Is that the anime you're talking
about? Fuck hyphen come back to me?
Yeah. Colon. Greg.
All right. Yeah, colon.
Greg / Jim. Who would win in a fight, Chloe or Elena?
I always go with Chloe is the brunette.
Yes.
I think Chloe, hot stuff.
She would definitely win in a fight.
Yeah,
Greg thinks Elena's hot. I'm like, that's bullshit. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, Elena's really cute.
Chloe's a sex pot. Also, like the sex pot.
Just to let you guys know, I finally finished the second season of Haruhi Suzumiya. So that's what I watched.
Okay, good.
I started playing Cityville. So John Shepard, who used to work at EA, works at Zynga now, an executive, sent me a Cityville invite. And I generally delete those. But when John Shepard sends you one, you're like, all right, I'll check it out. I'll give this guy a benefit of a doubt. Because, you know, we're friends. We chat. And we're now actually neighbors in Cityville.
Oh, that's cute.
But I'm not really feeling the I don't get the games.
Shocking.
So the thing with those games is you can play, they're free to play, and you can play them as long as you have friends that you can invite, because you build communities and then you have to hire people to run like the buildings, and you can invite your friends to hire them. They don't actually do anything, but they just hired into the building, and you can pay money to hire a bot. So once you run out of friends, you start paying money.
Sounds thrilling.
Yeah. What does this have to do with anything that we were just talking about, though? I don't understand.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't really
what
get
was the segue
where did the segue
I don't
come
know.
From?
Okay. Well, Ryan's talking about anime.
Well, that was a good segue then. Zach asked me, and this will be a question that interests Jim as well, is who is my favorite New York Islanders player? Can be past, present, or both. Obviously, who's my favorite player of all time, Jim?
Oh, I think it was a fighter, right?
No.
No? A scorer.
It's Billy Smith. But my favorite player on the Islanders right now is a fighter. And who is he, Jim?
Trevor Gilley?
Yes. That guy's a complete animal.
Favorite I think Ziggy Pollock is my favorite Islander
of all time. Yeah. Certainly one of the. I was watching something on Islanders Point Blank, and they were talking about how he might be one of the best Islanders of all time, and I don't disagree. Obviously, Pierre Turgeon is the best Islander of all time.
Most pure skilled Islanders player of all time.
Who, Pierre Turgeon?
Or Ziggy Pollock? I'm going to kill you both.
Okay, we'll move on. And then the final quick fire questions come from Steven. He asked Ryan, what's the best gaming event you've ever gone to? E3, PAX, whatever.
Probably the first time I went to Tokyo Game Show was pretty monumental.
What year was that?
2008, I want to say.
Okay.
I think. Man, it's been a while.
I always say this, GDC is the best event to go to. If you want to network and meet people and try to get your foot in the door somewhere and meet people, like GDC, you're going to... Like I said, I was smoking cigarettes with Evan Wells and Naughty Dog just one night randomly at 2 in the morning. Like, would never happen normally. Wouldn't happen at E3 probably, but GDC, because everyone's centralized in
San Francisco, yeah.
Basically, the W is where everybody goes.
Yeah.
Go to the W during GDC at, you know, between 10 and 2, and you're gonna meet some awesome people.
10 and 9 and 2 in the morning, you're saying?
Yeah.
Greg / Jim, it seems that Shatter's Colin's favorite PSN game and Super Stardust is Ryan's. What's yours?
I don't really have a favorite PSN game.
Okay.
Demon Souls,
my only favorite game.
And Colin, what's your favorite rap rock group? If we're talking about rap rock in its purest form, I would have to say 311, although they're not really
a
rap rock
group. I'll send you a video link to the Jimmy Kimmel performance.
Oh, I saw it.
It's so bad.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Soulless performance.
Yeah, they're getting old. They're getting real old.
New album drops 2 weeks, by the way.
Yeah, I'll pick it up still, but...
Yeah.
But favorite rap rock band, like rap rock band? Hard to say. I mean, Rage Against the Machine was pretty awesome.
Oh, man, they were so good.
You know, their politics don't match up with mine, but they're complete hypocrites, so that makes me feel like I can be a hypocrite and listen to them, even though I don't agree with anything they say. And on that note, Ryan, take me home.
Cool. Well, remember, you can email us at beyond@ign.com, and we're going to have more info on the live 200 episode extremely soon. I think Greg is already starting to confirm attendees.
Greg has confirmed, so some of you already received confirmations.
Yes.
There's only three more episodes before 200, so we're only recording three more episodes, and then episode 200 will be live in San Francisco. Yeah. And also, of course, remember, you can follow us all on Twitter.
Yes.
Clements is Plum Cider, PWAM Cider. No taxation. Jim is at Jim Riley.
No space.
And now you really can take me home.
There you go.
Take me home tonight.
Let's end it with an email that came from Eric Osborne, who writes that he's been listening to the show for over 4 years, huge fan, and would like to submit a song from his band, Maya Proxy. Some homies from Oklahoma City. Two of these homies are PlayStation and PSB nutsos, and they would be absolutely honored to hear their song on the show.
You can find
more info on this band at www.themayaproxy.com. And let's play a song called Sometimes. And that's about all there is to
it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners.
That was fun.
Goodbye.
Beyond.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.